With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to another episode of the Championship Roundtable podcast. You can find the show at Championship Pod on Twitter. I'm Louis Shackshaft, football writer, blogger and podcast host again for you today.
Hi, I'm Jake. You can get me on Twitter at Jake Jabber with two N's, and you can get my writings on EPL Index.
Great to have you with us again, Jake. Obviously, James is not with us, so it's just us two this evening. As ever, first and foremost, straight into results roundup. If you don't mind, Jake, would you like to take us through all the fixtures from Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, so we'll start off with the Friday night game.
Friday night. Let's start with that. It's a good shout.
Yeah, I'll start off with the Friday night game. We'll include that one. Aston Villa coming back from 3-0 down to draw at home against Sheffield United. So that was a 3-0 draw. Moving on to Saturday, another dramatic draw at the top of the table. Leeds equalised late on against Middlesbrough in a 1-1 draw. Swansea beating Millwall at home, 1-0. Bristol City getting yet another win against Blackburn. A really, really good result there, 1-0 away from home. Preston getting another win, continuing their upwards trajectory to mid-table, getting a 2-1 win away to Bolton. Derby beat Hull 2-0 in what was quite a big win for them against an informed team. Nottingham Forest got a win against Brentford at home 2-1. Another really good game happened at Loftus Road. Birmingham winning 4-3 away from home against QPR. Rotherham and Wigan drawing 1-1 at the bottom. Sheffield Wednesday and Reading drawing 0-0. West Brom getting a really good win away to Stoke 1-0 in the late game on the Saturday. And then, of course, on Sunday, we'll see. The derby down in East Anglia and Norwich won that one 3-0.
Yeah, thank you, Jake. Certainly a couple of games what stick out for me as game of the weekend, but let's go into biggest wins or surprises or results of the day. I've got a few jotted down. I want to hear your thoughts. So talk to me, Jake. What's your biggest win or surprise from the this weekend's fixtures?
Yeah, I think you've got to go. I think I've got to go for West Brom winning away at Stoke. I know Stoke have not been good this season. They're near the bottom of the table rather than at the top where people expect them. But to go away to the Britannia or the Bet365, whatever it's called these days, and get a win, it is massive. Any win in those sort of games away from home. Yeah. A huge, especially on television. West Brom being inconsistent late, but I think we think they've got a chance of getting automatic promotion. So it was a game that they really had to win if they wanted to do that. And they did get that win 1-0. I thought that was a huge win. Another one, I'd like to go to Derby winning 2-0. We've been full of praise for Hull on this podcast, especially Grzycki and Bowen. But Derby, inconsistent late, falling out of the playoffs, managed to get back to winning ways there. It was quite a comfortable 2-0 win for them, so I thought that was a huge result. Because if they would have lost, they would have fallen behind Bristol City as things turned out on Saturday. So it's important that they won that really big win. So yeah, they're the two big results for me in terms of what they mean for the season. Any that stick out for you?
Yeah, it's good that you've picked a couple of fixtures that I haven't, actually. I've got three fixtures wrote down, as I mentioned. So I'll start with what I believe is the biggest win for me, and that's Bristol City going away at Blackburn. We often talk how well Blackburn have done this season. I'm going to talk about Tony Mowbray later on also. But yes, obviously they scored in the 80th minute there to keep their, form and winning ways on that run, keeping them in sixth spot, just above Derby and Bristol City the strongest team in the division at the minute. So that was a huge win. The other one for me, although on paper they would have been favourites, but obviously Norwich City's 3-0 win against Ipswich. I know, essentially it was top versus bottom, but a derby, you know, anything can happen, sending off penalties and, you know, well, talk about sending off, Paul Lambert got sent off, didn't he? But, yeah, Norwich winning 3-0 and Pukki again with a brace there, comfortable win. But, you know, obviously with Leeds and Sheffield United dropping points, yeah, huge win there for Norwich. The only other result for me, which wasn't a win, and I've just touched upon it, but Leeds scoring in, you know, 10, 11 minutes at a time in the 100th minute, let's say, through Phillips was, yes, in the end, a great point for them because Middlesbrough obviously searching for, well, to finish in the top two. So for Leeds to get a point there and, you know, keep Middlesbrough in fifth was actually a decent point in the end there. And obviously it didn't look likely, you know, like I say, with only a couple of minutes remaining. So they're the results for me. Is any other standout for you at all, Jake? Because like I say, I know I've mentioned quite a few that you haven't there.
No, I think they're the main sort of results that we picked up on there. You could go to Nottingham Forest, perhaps, at Birmingham getting wins to sort of boost their outside chances of the playoffs. But, you know, we could talk about every game. All mean something at this stage. But, no, I think we've picked out the main runs there.
Yeah, just quickly before we move on, and we will talk about one of the contenders of the season, but two cracking games there, obviously, Aston Villa and Sheffield United drawing 3-3, and then the other game as well, QPR 3, Birmingham 4, which we'll probably come on to, but great to see, obviously, the goals being scored and keeping the Championship as what I believe is as one of the best divisions in the world, and it's for games and reasons like that. But are there any standout players for you this week? And the reasons why, Jake?
Yeah, there's a few. Probably won't pick the same ones as you. Got to pick the main one for me. It's got to be Shea Adams. Nearly left the Championship during the January window. Southampton had an interest. I think he probably would have went if Birmingham didn't have a transfer embargo. But he showed his class on Saturday with a hat-trick, a first-half hat-trick against QPR. Very different finishes as well. He's got, you know, the completely different goals. He showed his versatility as a finisher. And I think if you just, the more you watch him, you think he's got a future at a higher level. They bought him for $2 million a few seasons ago. And yeah, he's looking like a bargain. And he's probably going to be sold for close to 10 times that, which was really impressive. But yeah, he showed his quality. And I think if he stays fit and he's playing like that, Birmingham have got a chance of getting into the playoffs, albeit an outside one, but I think he's a really, really good player.
One, yeah, definitely.
One that's gone under our radar a little bit this season, but yeah, he was excellent at the weekend, so he deserves praise. And the other one for me is maybe a surprise one, but I thought Martinez in goal for Reading deserves deserves a shout-out. He's been excellent since coming in. He's got two clean sheets, played three games now for Reading, conceded once. Sheffield Wednesday had the better of it. By all accounts, he made a few superb saves, and he just looks like a step above what they've had all season. And, you know, they say you need goal scorers to get you out of trouble at the bottom, but to have a really good goalkeeper helps a lot because, even with the change of manager, Reading are still conceding a lot of shots. Although the defence has got better, still conceding a lot of shots, and he looks like a really class addition in goal. It's just a shame what happened to Oliveira has happened there. Hopefully he's back soon. But, you know, they fixed one end of the pitch, two clean sheets in a row. They now need to fix the other end of the pitch if they're going to, you know, move clear of relegation before it gets, you know, to the nail-biting stage of the season. But yeah, he looks a really, really class goalkeeper. And it's always good to focus on the attacking talent, but sometimes you've got to look further back, and I thought he was really good this weekend.
Yeah, you're right. I'm glad you've picked out Martinez, actually, because, like you say, Wednesday did have the better chances. He saved a really good opportunity for Sam Hutchinson from about 6 yards. I don't know how he saved it, actually, to be honest. Hutchinson probably should have scored, and also shots from Forestieri and Fletcher. So he had a great game. I had Shea Adams down also, so I won't touch on that, but I have got a couple more players. You know, I'm going to kind of echo what you said about Adams, about Billy Sharp, you know, hat-trick again. So, you know, I've got to mention him. 100 goals up also for Sheffield United. And, you know, at the end of the game, I'm not going to say I feel sorry for him as a Wednesday fan, but to not obviously get the victory there with 8 minutes remaining against Aston Villa, God knows, you know, how they didn't come away with the 3 points. So, yeah, to score a hat-trick and not get the win, he must have obviously He did his bit. It was obviously just Sheffield United's defence that let them down. But yes, he was certainly one of the standout players this week. Every club wishes they had a Billy Sharp, you know, loyal to the club, supports the club. And, you know, like I say, he's hit a ton of goals for them now. So, yeah, fantastic. He was on Friday night. Also, you know, like in previous weeks, I've not mentioned players that have scored the goals. I've usually picked out keepers, but you've done that. So I'll also mention Pukki, who scored the brace, obviously, for Norwich against Ipswich. He always seems to just score the goals at the right times, doesn't he? And he's continuing to do that. And then the other player for me who also scored the brace was Waghorn for Derby versus Hull, which you've mentioned in one of your biggest wins of the week. But carrying on from the Aston Villa Sheffield United game, Jake, obviously we've touched upon it was 3-3. Billy Sharp obviously scored a hat trick. They were 3-0 up with 8 minutes remaining, as I've mentioned already. Was that one of the contenders for game of the season? I know there's obviously, like I mentioned, QPR versus Birmingham was a great game this weekend also. What are your thoughts on those games? And is it certainly up there, like I say, as one of the best games in this campaign so far?
It's difficult. It depends what you're looking for. Obviously, drama is high in what you want in a good game. And they certainly had that. To come back from 3-0 down with 10 minutes to go was amazing. But I don't know. I think the errors that were made by the Sheffield United defenders, O'Connell and the keeper as well, was poor on one of them. So it was. I think that takes away from it a little bit. I think it was more Sheffield United sort of losing concentration and throwing it away with sort of tied in with momentum, swinging to Aston Villa's favours. It was a great spectacle, but I just don't think you could. It's up there. I'd say the game at QPR was a better one. Purely because you had that really late drama of Lee Camp saving the penalty. Because if that would have went 4-4, it would have been a great game. But I think it adds something extra that they had that penalty and it got saved and Birmingham managed to hang on. I don't know about you. I think that adds to it.
No, I completely agree, actually. I think that you say, yes, the drama was great, obviously, at Villa Park. And there was the drama, or almost more drama, should we say, like if the penalty had have gone in. But then, like, we talk about contenders for game of the season. Sometimes a sending off also, it sounds maybe a bit silly, but to say that, you know, a player to be sent off also adds to the drama. And these little things, you know, efforts that hit the post or crossbar and all this thing, like you say, it adds to the drama. And I suppose, you know, the Sheffield United Villa game didn't have that. It was obviously the three goals they did score in the last 8 to 10 minutes that made it, like you say, what a really great game this week. And probably if it had been 4-4 in the QPR Birmingham game, we'd have been talking about that as definitely up there as one of the contenders as well. Have you got anything else you'd like to add to that? Because I've got a couple of games actually that I'm going to mention that I still think top the games from this weekend.
Yeah, I think Aston Villa could be involved in their own competition, couldn't they? Because they're just so good going forward, but absolutely terrible at the back, and that just leads to games of loads of goals in. Obviously, the 5-5 with Nottingham Forest is up there. That was a really good game. I'd say for me, there's a few Norwich games that I could put in there, but I thought the game last weekend at Elland Road for pure quality, like that was just quality football. Norwich winning out 3-1 in the end, but it could have gone another way on the day. That was just really quality football, great to watch. But for me, I think my game of the season is another one involving Aston Villa, and it was a 3-2 loss to Leeds at Villa Park. I thought that one for me is the best game purely because Aston Villa was so good in the first half, dominating every single department. Leeds go down to 10 men. Did they go down to 10 men? I think they did, didn't they?
Yes, I believe so.
And then they came back and won 3-2. It was amazing. That was just peak Bielsa football, that was. And I think for me, that's my game of the season, purely because I just didn't think Leeds had a chance. And they came back and won and just showed the flexibility they've got, you know, playing with 10 men. Jack Clark coming on, he had a really good cameo. For me, that one's it. It's difficult to look anywhere else for me.
Well, I've got a couple more, and it's different to what you've mentioned. So the other one for me, as we mentioned, a lot of Norwich games this season seem to be games of the season. And Norwich's victory against Millwall, 4-3, if you remember that one. I remember, obviously, Millwall being 3-2 up in injury time. And I think there was 7 or 8 minutes played in injury time. Jordan Rhodes, I believe, managed to get the equaliser to bring it to 3-3 on the 92nd minute. And then Teemu Pukki somehow scored and lobbed the keeper in the 97th minute to get the 4-3 victory there. But you've already mentioned it, Jake. The game of the season for me has to be simply for the goals. And like we've talked about, the drama. Aston Villa 5, Forest 5 for me. Tammy Abraham obviously scoring 4 goals, and he seems to, since that day, be scoring every week. He's really obviously hit the, I think he's third top goal scorer now with about 20 goals in the league. And also in that game, there was a sending off, which I've talked about, adds to the drama, which was Figueiredo for Forest in the 60-odd minute mark. So yes, for me, the game of the season would be the 5-all. I hope it's still going to be topped. We're only two-thirds of the way through the season, you know, 16 or 15 games remaining for most clubs. So it could be pipped, but yeah, it's crazy that both teams scored 5 goals in that game and I only got a point.
I'll just correct myself. There was not a player sent off in the Leeds Aston Villa game, so I'll correct myself there. I think I was thinking about the Nottingham Forest Leeds game where they had the man sent off and came back to go 2-1 up and then went down 4-2 in the end. So that's another game as well. That was a good game. So yeah, I got mixed up with those two. Just clarify before we get any comments then.
I'll forgive you. I don't know whether the Twitter public will do, but yes, I'll forgive you on that one. But yeah, certainly in the Championship, as we know, there's a hell of a lot of games that, you know, are fantastic just due to the amount of goals that generally can be scored. But if we move on from that, Jake, let's look at we've already talked about contender for the game of the season. Let's talk managers and players. So let's not talk about too many, because I know you can pick so many players, you can pick so many managers also. Let's talk about manager first, shall we? Who up to now, like I say, two-thirds into the season, who is your manager of the season so far?
So, yeah, we're not going to go into loads, but I've got three that came to mind, and they're three of slightly different tiers of the league, so I think that it's difficult when you compare it. So I'll just go through my three. I think, firstly, Nigel Adkins would be up there for me, purely because everybody thought Hull would doom this year, and he's done an excellent job to get them mid-table safety. I don't think they're going to get into the playoffs now. I think they're a little bit far off, but to even have got into the discussions was an achievement, and I think, you know, a lot of people thought he was a busted flush at this level, maybe wasn't going to do well at Championship level again. He's doing really well with Hull in what is a very difficult situation, so I think he deserves praise. Lee Johnson, another one for what he's doing at Bristol City. Sell their best players season after season. Joe Bryan was the one that went this year. You know, they keep doing that. Bobby Reid as well. And yet he just keeps coming back, and they seem to improve every year. I know there's inconsistency, but they do seem to get better and better, and he's a really, really good young manager. Bristol City stuck with him when it was a little bit tough, and they're getting the rewards now, sitting in sixth position, so he deserves a lot of praise. But for me, I think it's difficult to look at Daniel Farke for manager of the season so far. I think he's done an excellent job with Norwich. Not many people fancied them for playoff contention, let alone automatic promotion, and not even going into winning the league, which they've got a very good chance of doing at this point. So I think he's done very well. Like Johnson, Norwich, you know, stuck with him when perhaps other clubs wouldn't have done, and they're getting the rewards. He's really good at recruitment, bringing in some excellent players this season, so he deserves credit for that. A lot of comparisons made with David Wagner, purely because of where they've come from, Dortmund, but I think Farke is going to be a higher caliber of manager than David Wagner. I think he looks every inch a top tier manager. Just his look and the way he carries himself, the tactics, his, you know, willingness to play young players. I think he's just got everything going for him. And I think if they go up to the Premier League, which it looks like they've got a good chance of doing, I think he would do very well at that level. And I think within 18 months, he'll be managing a bigger club than Norwich. No disrespect to them, but I think their supporters and the club alike will know that, you know, they've got somebody there that could go on to manage at a higher level. You know, you look at Marco Silva and the way he's looked at in the Premier League as this fashionable young coach. And I just don't think he's a little bit overrated. He hasn't really done well at any job that he's got. And you look at Farke, I just think he's the type of character, like a Marco Silva, the way he looks and the way he carries himself, that he's going to be liked by the media when they get to the Premier League, you know, if they get to the Premier League. And he's just got everything about him that I think he's going to be a really, really good manager, whether that be in the Premier League or abroad. I'm sure he's probably going to go back to Germany at some point. But yeah, I think he's got a bright future in coaching.
Yeah, I completely agree. I've got Daniel Farke as my number one. You know, like you said, we could mention many names like Chris Wilder, Bielsa, the list goes on, Johnson at Bristol City. But ultimately, top of the league. And for me, I think I predicted Norwich to finish about 9th or 10th at the beginning of the season. So to be where they are now, and we always talk about how many goals West Brom score also, well, Norwich have matched West Brom now with 60 goals. They've both got goals for the most in the Championship at the minute. So, and not only that, you like you say, that the charisma and everything about Farke, yes, he's doing a great job, but you also, if you consider his transfers and the players that he brought in at the beginning of the season, particularly a couple of players on free transfers, then yes, for me, he certainly sits number one. You've already said a lot about him, so the only other manager that I'd like to mention, and it's great, I think, that we can name a few that don't sit near the top, so I'm going to mention Tony Mowbray. Obviously, coming up from League One, I've mentioned him a few times before. They've lost a couple, you know, recently. But before that, we were talking about how well Blackburn were doing, you know, sat 8th, 9th, and in contention for a playoff spot, and how well they've done at home this season. Yes, they've, you know, got players like Bradley Dark, who I was surprised probably didn't move in January, actually. But, like I say, to come up from League One, again, to tell you my prediction at the beginning of the season, I didn't think they'd get relegated, but I did think they'd probably finish 19th or 20th. So to be sat where they are, I think Mowbray's doing a fantastic job there. But let's talk players. Again, let's not go into too much detail, Jake, because we could list 30 players, couldn't we? But if we name just a couple, or your number one, who's your player of the season so far?
Yeah, this is really difficult. There's so many good players in this league. To pick just one is difficult. You know, you could go Tammy Abraham. You could go Pookie. I think I would go Pookie, to be honest. I think just the impact he's had on Norwich, when they put him up front, it seemed to change their fortunes. I think, you know, he's up there with 20 goals. But I think when you're comparing him to Sharp and Abraham, you know, I think he offers a lot more to Norwich than perhaps they do to their own teams. Just his overall play, his awareness. For Norwich, it seems like it's all gone right when they finally when they put him up front. They think they started the season with him on the wing, but he's been excellent. And I think it's difficult to look elsewhere. It's just been such a good signing. You know, people thought he was a good player when he's been, you know, when he went to Scotland, there was a lot of hope for him. It didn't quite click up there, but you know, now 28, he seems to have found his rhythm. Got 5 assists as well, four man the matches on who scored. So you know, he's looking really good, and just to look at his form recently, 5 goals in his last 5 appearances. Two of them coming against rival clubs at the top in Leeds and Sheffield United. He just seems to turn up in the big games, and he's been a revelation. And I think for me, he's a stand-up player to be player of the season at this point. You know, it's a double Norwich, but then them sitting top of the table, it's easy for us to look there for who we're going to be picking for these sort of awards at this point.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, you're right. And I was hoping you wasn't going to say Pookie because of all the players, obviously, in the league. I've written him down as well. So, yes, for me, it's Pookie. And the reason why I'm going to say him, just to add to what you said, obviously, yes, he's got a great goal contribution. Yes, he's got 5 assists as well this season. Norwich do sit top. But for me, how many players come to this league, you know, unknown to the Championship and they're terrible for a couple of years, more often than not, or they struggle to score even 10 goals in a season. So for Pookie to come on a free transfer in the Championship without any experience, yes, he's probably in his prime, like you say, at the age he's at. But to come and already have scored 20 goals, like, yes, you can look at Billy Sharp, who's been scoring goals in this division for years and his experience. You can look at Abraham, who's on his, you know, on his way up to be a Premier League player or Premier League player already, if you like. But all these players have had time on their hands to adjust to the Championship and a couple of years, if not 10 years experience, if you look at Billy Sharp. But for Pookie to come and do it straight away in his initial season, that's why I've picked him as my number one player for me. And I know it's obvious you can just pick out a striker who's scored plenty of goals. And you know, I could have picked out a player like Janssen at Leeds in defence. Or, as you know, I love Harry Wilson at Derby and Joe Lolley at Nottingham Forest. But like I say, because it's his first season in this division and it's such a tough division, you know, week in, week out, and he's continuing, like I say, he scores at the right time every time. If Norwich are drawing or they need a goal within the last 10 minutes and it's 0-0 or 1-1, he seems to be the guy that always steps up and scores the goal. So again, I'm going to have to agree with you there, Jake, but it's certainly Pookie for me. But if we move on, again, like I've already mentioned, we've hit a vital point in the season, 2/3 of the season gone now, you know, only about 15, 16 games remaining. So we're going to do our predictions into the top 6 and bottom 3. So I want to know in order, if you can, Jake, who you believe will finish top 2 and then the 4 in the playoffs and then your bottom 3 also for relegation. I'm just interested to see if you're going to obviously do any chopping and changing from what the league standings are at the minute. So what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's a very interesting one and we'll be made to look stupid within about 2 weeks. So, you know, that's
yeah, probably.
That's the nature of this league. But at the top, I think you have to look at those top 4 teams now, really. They're the ones that have shown the most to be considered in that top 2. Yeah. Of course, we could see Middlesbrough, Bristol City, Derby, any of those come through, but we'd have to see a significant improvement in both quality and consistency. And it's, you know, it's possible, but you'd be really putting yourself on the line if you predicted any of those to get in that top 2. So for me, you know, as much as I'd like to see Leeds do it for Bielsa and just how long they've been in the second tier, I think it's, I'm going to go maybe surprised to pick the team in 4th to win the league. I think West Brom have just got the quality. I know what a fit and firing Dwight Gayle can do in this league. And, you know, it seems silly to say with him sitting on 16 goals, but I just think there's more to come from him this year. I think there's no better striker in the Championship. He's one of the best strikers in the history of this division with his goals per minute. He's just sensational and he proved his worth on Saturday lunchtime. So he's, Saturday tea time either. So I think he's going to fire West Brom up that table. I think Darren Moore's learned a lot over this year as a manager, and I think he'll approach his running knowing what his best team is and knowing exactly what they need to do. Got some tough fixtures coming up, but I just think they've got the quality, you know. You got Nottingham Forest up next, then Aston Villa away, QPR away, Sheffield United and Leeds in back-to-back games. They've got some tough fixtures, but I just think they've got the quality and they've shown that, you know, with how they've played in big games that they can get the win. So yeah, I think and the goals they've got, it's just so difficult to go against them. So yeah, I think they're gonna win the league. I think Norwich will come second. I think they've got enough about them to stay in that top two. I still have doubts about their goalkeeper. I don't think he's one of the best in this division by any stretch. I just think that being the leaders might, it's a change in mentality for Norwich, and I'm not sure how they'll cope with that, but they keep proving me wrong, so they could go on and win this league. But for me, I just think West Brom the ones for me. I just think they're just pure quality wise, they've got enough, so they're my top two. I think yeah. Leeds, Sheffield United will be in the playoffs quite comfortably. Made a slight change of my mind in these last few minutes. I think I'm going to go for Bristol City and Derby to take the next two. I think there's something about Middlesbrough that's just been lacking. Their performance in the FA Cup was appalling. To not win that game on Saturday late on, I know it was against Leeds, but it was a yeah. blow, and they're the sort of blows that can hit you hard at this point of the season. And their lack of goals is a worry for me, especially as they've started to concede lately. So yeah, I think Bristol City and Derby are going to take those last two spots.
Going
down to the bottom three, I think Bolton and Ipswich are gone for me. I just don't see either of them getting the points needed. And if you look at the two teams above them, Reading and Rotherham, yeah, they're equally as bad at winning games, but they seem to be picking up these draws. And I know we don't like draws at the top of the table. That's why Aston Villa are pretty much out of the playoff race at this point, because they've got too many draws. Yeah. But at the bottom, they're vital. And I think Reading bringing in Martinez in goal, and hopefully they get Oliveira back firing. I think they've done enough to get them out of it. And I think it's sad to say, but I think Rotherham are going to go straight back down to League One, albeit with a much better record this time around in the Championship. So I think it's going to be a switch Bolton and Rotherham for me.
Yeah, I'll carry on from where you've left off there at the bottom of the table, and I completely agree with everything you said. For me, Ipswich and Bolton already down and out. Yeah, can't see them. I don't think they've got anything at all that's going to, you know, get them into 21st. And then I hate to say it, because, you know, we've admired Rotherham at times for this season for their grit, determination, the teamwork and the effort that they have got there. But we always said, didn't we, when it gets to the winter months, games come thick and fast, and that's when, you know, a bit more quality prevails. And on paper, fair play to Rotherham, because, you know, and no disrespect, but they've probably got the worst team on paper in the division. So to be sat 21st, they are actually, for me, still overachieving. They're doing a good job. But I think once 46 games have gone by, I think they will be sat 22nd in the league also. And I think Reading, yeah, they're just slowly but surely just picking up them draws. And it's going to, you know, they're eventually going to creep past Rotherham, maybe even if it's on the last game of the season. But yeah, unfortunately, I can see Rotherham going down. At the top, I can't disagree to an extent, in the fact that I think West Brom will finish top also. Yes, I don't know why I'm saying it. I've tipped West Brom all season to be up there. I think that with West Brom, although they've lost a couple of games in the last 4 weeks or so, I still don't think they're at top gear. I think that, like you mentioned about Dwight Gale, I think they can really turn it on again. And, you know, West Brom are one of them experienced teams in this division to really, you know, crack the whip, if you like. And, you know, with 10 games remaining, really push Leeds and Norwich. And for whatever reason it is, it's just a gut feeling. I think that West Brom will finish top of this division with Norwich in second. Unfortunately, Leeds United have been, you know, great all season, but they just seem to be, rather than drawing games, losing the odd couple of games now as well. And for me, that's one of the reasons they're going to get pipped, I feel. So for me, I'm going to go for West Brom and Norwich top two, with Leeds, Sheffield United, Middlesbrough, and I'm going to actually say, yeah, I think Bristol City will do it this year. I think they've had, you know, the experience of the last few years. Lampard, you know, he still needs time at Derby, and, you know, it's his first season in charge. So to finish seventh, would not be ideal for them, even though, you know, the joint on points with Bristol City at the minute. But I just feel as though they may come back stronger next season, and I think Bristol City will pip them. So I'm not expecting, obviously, a change in the top six from now till the end of the season. It's just the order they finish. So, like I say, West Brom, Norwich, Leeds, Sheffield United, Middlesbrough and Bristol City for me. But that takes us nicely into previews and predictions, Jake. So if we look at Saturday, 3 o'clock kickoff, which is Aston Villa versus West Brom. Huge derby there. Should be a great game. What's your preview and prediction for that one?
Yeah, it's a massive game, isn't it? Two teams that will feel like they should, you know, should be in the Premier League. The thing with Villa for me is they just draw too many games, and they haven't beaten anybody that isn't Ipswich in what feels like forever. So I just can't see them winning it. And as we both tipped West Brom to now win the league, which is quite a brave prediction at this point, I think I'm gonna have to tip them to win here. I think they showed that they can, you know, manage a game quite well away from home against Stoke, and I think like it's going to be a similar performance against Villa, albeit they're probably going to have to score a few more goals because Villa probably will score at some point. So yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 West Brom here. I think they're going to, you know, start to turn up the gas and get up that table.
I've wrote 2-1 as well. I think, like we say, we've tipped West Brom, so why not start here to, you know, a great game to go to Villa Park and pick up all 3 points. I think that Villa, again, like Derby, as I mentioned, I think they'll be one of the teams to look out for next season. I think, you know, Dean Smith's still got a bit of work to do there. And even though they, on paper, and they can beat anyone in this division, I think Villa are just a little bit inconsistent at the minute. And I think, like we've said before, with Dwight Gayle and players like Rodriguez, etc., up front, I think, that West Brom will get a victory here. So I'll go 2-1 also. The other game we want to preview and predict is basically top versus bottom, or bottom versus top in that order, which would be Bolton versus Norwich City at 3 p.m. also. What's your preview and prediction for that one?
Yeah, Bolton are not very good, are they? A shame. I think Phil Parkinson's a good manager. What he did with them last year was incredible, to stay up against the odds, but... yeah, it's just looking down the squad, it's just not very good, is it? Players that you just didn't think still played football seem to be playing a lot of minutes for them, which is incredible. Yeah, you look at somebody like Yannick Wilshere, and he was meant, you know, he was quite a big thing a few years ago. He had that big money move to Norwich, and he's not really done much since. And now he's struggling to get into Bolton's team. I just don't think they've got that much in their squad. I think Norwich are going to go here, and it's going to be similar to what they did to Ipswich. I'll go 3-0 Norwich.
Yeah, they don't have much quality, Bolton, unfortunately. And no, I've, like we've already said, I think they'll finish 23rd in the division this season. So yes, for that reason, the quality and, you know, that Norwich have got, and they're on fire at the minute, winning last 3 out of 4 games. I'll go 2-0 Norwich, and it'd be no surprise for Pookie to score again. As we said, he always seems to score at the right time, and you know, he'll probably score the opening goal in this one. So yeah, 2-0 for me. Norwich will win at Bolton. And then Sunday, big game in the fact that Blackburn, you know, if they're going to make a push for the playoffs, it needs to start on Sunday, really, having lost the last two. But Sunday at 1 o'clock is Blackburn versus Middlesbrough. You've tipped Middlesbrough to fall out of the playoffs, so this will be an interesting prediction. But what's your preview and thoughts on that one?
Yeah, this is a difficult one to call. I think Blackburn were looking so good up to a couple of weeks ago, and that freak 5-2 loss to Brentford when they were 2-0 up, and you know, losing to Bristol City is no shame. But I thought at home against Bristol City, they were going to be the ones to put an end to Bristol City's winning run. Didn't turn out that way. I think, and it was probably a deserved result for Bristol City on the day. I think they're better at Ewood Park. Prior to the Bristol City game, they'd won 2-0 and 3-0 at home, back-to-back against Ipswich and Hull. I think they're going to get something. a couple of weeks ago, I'd have predicted a Blackburn win. I'm not going to go that far. Middlesbrough can't seem to win too many on the road. So I'm going to go a 1-1 draw in this one.
Yeah, it is a difficult one to predict, this one, actually. I'll be interested at 3 o'clock on Sunday to see who's claiming the victory, if not the draw. But for me, with Blackburn, obviously, like I've already said, losing a couple on the bounce, I've not tipped Middlesbrough to fall out of the playoffs. I think they'll remain similar to where they are. So I'm going to rely on Middlesbrough's defence for this one and say that Borough get a 1-0 victory away at Blackburn on Sunday. That's my prediction. But unfortunately, with that, we're out of time, Jake. If you'd like to let our listeners know where they can find you, now would be a good time.
Yeah, cheers for listening. You can get me on Twitter at Jake Jabman with 2 N's, and I write for EPL Index and also feature on the Premier League podcast on this channel, so check those out.
And I've been your host at Louis Shackshaft on Twitter. Remember to follow at Championship Pod also, where we post each show to our pinned tweet. Please subscribe, like and retweet our show. We want to thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you all next time.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.